This is Phil Barron, and I am driving home. It's Friday today. It has been an exciting week. I didn't upload my podcast last week, so I'm going to be uploading two in a row here. I'm going to turn the air conditioning on. It's October, but we've had just a little heat spike. So it's going to be in the 80s today, and then tomorrow it's going to get a little more back to normal. It's supposed to drop down into the 60s tomorrow for a couple of days, and then we're back up again, so it's a little warm in the car. It has been a week. I'm tired. It was a good week. It's just been a long week. I had recorded the podcast a little early last week because I needed to get home because my cousin was coming in to stay at our house for a few days. Simultaneously, we were getting ready to leave because our plane was taking off, I think, at around 6 o'clock. So, which means we needed to be at the airport around 5 o'clock. So I had gotten home at 3:30, hadn't started packing yet, so in between showing my cousin around the house and getting him all ready to go while he stayed at our house while we were gone, and then packing and then rushing around, there just wasn't time to upload the podcast. So I thought, I will do that when I get home anyways, because I didn't necessarily, I had mentioned, I think, last week about going spending some time with my beloved, and I had mentioned Washington, D.C., and I didn't necessarily want to upload a podcast and say, yes, we're going to be in District of Columbia. So, what was interesting about this vacation is we had planned it, several months ago. We'd kicked around a bunch of different ideas. We'd preliminarily talked about D.C. because it was our 25th wedding anniversary. And then we decided, couldn't find any decent tickets as far as prices and to hotels that were near the metro, which is the subway system in D.C. And so we finally decided that we would do something else, and we had talked about possibly Las Vegas with side trips to Bryce and Zion and the Grand Canyon, that sort of thing. Possibly even hopping over for a day to Walt Disney Land, and maybe meeting my nephew and his beloved up there. We never talked to them about doing that, but we were just making some plans. But then my wife did some digging around, and she actually found a good deal on airfare and a hotel that had a shuttle to the metro. So, ta-da! So, we got that all taken care of. So, last Thursday, we went ahead and flew into D.C. After we had made all our plans, bought all our tickets about 2 months out, maybe a month out, 2 months out, I saw a newspaper article about the fact that the House and the President and the Senate would all have to agree on a continuing resolution to keep the government open past September 30th. And I immediately told my wife, oh, okay, we better plan to just go see all the museums the first part of the week because they are going to be closed the second half because they are not going to get this worked out. So we just need to plan on it. And I had actually told some people at work the week before we left, I said, yeah, I said, they're going to shut down the government while they're there. They're going to close all the museums and the national parks and all the monuments. I said, but it's okay. We're going to front load everything. It's going to be just fine. So, we got out there on, Thursday, and, my beloved's been fighting a sinus infection, and she thought she had it under control, and then it flared back up again on Thursday night, Friday morning. and so she had some medicine with her, so she was pretty wiped anyways from getting ready for Doug, my cousin, being there and getting ready. She had a big concert that she was the choir coordinator for, and so she was going for that and getting ready to make sure that everything was ready to go for the two services, two Sundays she was going to be gone, and so she had just been going, so... And there were some things I wanted to see anyways that she didn't necessarily want to go see, like the Holocaust Museum. So I said, sweetie, why don't you just crawl in bed, stay in bed, rest. I'll go see this stuff and kind of start getting the metro figured out, and then we'll just start kicking around tomorrow. So we did that, and it worked out well. I got around to the Holocaust Museum. I went through Air and Space quickly, just rushed through. It was fun. It was fun. It went by. One of the reasons that we went back is that she had never seen what was inside the Smithsonian Castle. When we went back, when we got married, the castle was closed. And then we went back a couple of years later, and the castle was closed. So I dropped by the Smithsonian Castle. It was open, but they had turned it into a visitor center. So there was one little exhibit there that was fun. It was souvenirs collected over the years, you know, just like little pieces of wood from Mount Vernon and from George Washington's furniture and locks of hair from somebody. It was fun. So anyways, then Saturday, you know, we took in some museums, and Sunday we took in some museums, and Monday we went to the zoo, knowing that that was going to get closed as well. And then, sure enough, Tuesday. But we had already planned Tuesday to make the hop up to New York City. So we grabbed a plane out of Reagan National at like 6:30 in the morning on Tuesday. Hit JFK about 7:30. Rode the air train over to Howard Beach, and then caught the subway train into Manhattan. And it was fun. It was fun. It was the subway in New York is much different than the metro. But it was fun. So we wandered around in Manhattan. We went down to see the statue. Well, we went to the 9/11 memorial. We, you know, put our tickets, had gotten our tickets ahead of time. And that was, you know, very nice, very well done. And then we wandered down to Battery Park on the tip of Manhattan. And we were planning on going to see the Statue of Liberty, but of course it was closed because it's a national monument. So we went ahead and took a harbor tour and got fairly close to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. It would have been fun to go to Ellis Island. If they allow you to search through the archives, I'm not sure, because my grandfather on my Italian side, my mom's family, they came over from the old country, so they would have come through Ellis Island. So it was, you know, that was fun. It was fun being in New York, and then we went ahead and saw Trinity Church. We saw the Wall Street Bowl. We did all that kind of stuff. And then we went ahead and got back to the airport. And there weren't any other flights leaving sooner to get back to Washington. So we charged our phones at the airport and played some games. And, you know, then flew back in. And then on Wednesday, we kind of recovered a little bit on Wednesday, and then we went to the International Spy Museum on Wednesday and ate at Whole Foods. We kept picking up our food at Whole Foods because they had a Whole Foods right off the metro stop at King Station. Well, it's a block. So we'd get off at King Station, go down, and get ourselves a salad at Whole Foods, and then get back on the metro and ride it back to Huntington Station and then call the hotel and they'd come pick us up. And then on Thursday, we went to the Crime and Punishment Museum. we had an adventure with our bags. Some little tidbit to remember. Basically, none of the airports have storage lockers in D.C. And the only storage lockers that exist are normally for museum usage, which, of course, by Thursday, they were all closed. Union Station does have storage lockers. So we were looking for some place to dump our stuff so that we could kind of kick around, and the closest we could find was Union Station, which wasn't exactly on our itinerary. We did end up Thursday swinging up there just to see it. That was kind of interesting. And then we got back on the plane. Our plane was delayed last night. We were supposed to get in before 10 o'clock. Our plane was delayed an hour from D.C., and then it got delayed multiple times getting out of Chicago. There was some big thunderstorm going on in Chicago, and it was slowing everything down. So we didn't actually end up back in Springfield until almost midnight. And then, of course, by the time we got home and we got all our stuff put away, it was like 1:30 before I got in bed. So I'm a little tired today. And today I got to get caught up on all the things that normally get done through the week, like all the financial stuff and the podcast, yada, yada, yada. But overall, it was a really good trip. It was really good. It's just really interesting. I wanted to go to the 9/11 Memorial because I wanted to absorb some of that atmosphere. It's fascinating flying into Chicago. I think it was into Chicago or was into D.C. No, maybe it was into D.C. where I was sitting on the window and watching all the planes in the air, seeing all the lights, all the structures and organizations of modern civilization. Very, very interesting. Because obviously I'm thinking a lot now about the new Windfall series and the roles of hierarchy and individuals and certainly all of our science and all of our technology is fascinating. And it's a wonderful accomplishment. Many good things have been done through science and technology. But at the core of human existence, there is still the need for meaning. There is still the desire for joy. There is still a yearning for connection. And when you're traveling around in the subways and in the metro, no one talks to each other. Unless they happen to be friends and they're on the metro. One point we were on and there were a group of young people and they were all just chattering on the metro. And it just seemed foreign because most of our experiences, aside from Net and I talking, most of our experiences on the metro were quiet. Everybody keeps to themselves. No one talks. There's no connections. Just more cogs in the machine. And the other thing that I've been pondering about since that trip, and so I was, well, let me finish up with the other. So I, you know, was really kind of watching these, because these institutions that we admire, like the Madison, I think it's the Madison Building or the Thomas Jefferson Building, I forget which it is, where the Library of Congress is housed. The main reading room, I should say, for the Library of Congress, because, of course, the Library of Congress has warehouses of books just everywhere. It's a magnificent building, that building. I mean, it's just a spectacular building. But as I was looking at that building, and I was seeing this thing that has stood for 100-plus years, 150 years, whatever, and will, unless something drastic happens, will stand for many more hundreds of years to come. you know, we look at that and we think it's magnificent. We see it as being magnificent. And yet, we pretty much guarantee that the workers who were working on that building, they probably weren't working on it under the best of conditions. They probably weren't treated with fairness and kindness and generosity and mercy. They were treated as machines. And they were willing to be treated as machines because they were afraid not to make money. They were willing to come in and just checking my mail. Not do the things that would give their lives a sense of meaning, give their lives a sense of joy, because they needed to make money, because they were afraid. And I will guarantee you there were some that found meaning, found joy, and were coming in and saw their life as more than just working on these things. Just a second here. We've got a trash can that has fallen over. And I need to get it. One moment. I'll be right back. Be right back. Anyway, sorry about that. So, you know, while some... I'm backing into my garage, so I'll talk loud. You know, while some see these magnificent buildings and say, look at what has been accomplished, I look at those magnificent buildings and I say, but at what cost? And I'm trying to balance that out from all sides of the argument, because I want to have this discussion. I want this to be one of the major themes. Okay, apparently the battery is getting low in my little garage door opener. I want this to be one of the major themes out of Windfall, is this interaction of the individual with hierarchy. Because I think there's one side of it. Well, there are those who would find the proposition true that all the individual workers who built the pyramids, that what they could accomplish in their lives individually would in no way compare to the impact that the pyramids have had over the ages on civilizations. That their presence has inspired humanity as to what can be done. In my terminology, with a little religious fervor and a few priests who know how to exploit it. And people who are willing to use others as slaves. So there's this balance of, in one sense, in one definition of greatness, the greatness that can be accomplished by no other means than by using people as cogs in the machine. And that type of greatness cannot be accomplished by an individual. You have to harness others. You have to require the involvement of others, either voluntarily or involuntarily. But whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily, you can't necessarily require the involvement of others to the highest level of kindness and generosity and mercy and grace and long-sufferingness. And so there's this interesting tension. And people of good conscience, I think, can come down on both sides of the argument as to how hierarchy should treat the individual. And so that's going to be an interesting thing to figure out. The other thing that I'm thinking about and working on is in this Crime and Punishment Museum, when you see and you read about some of the things that were done in the Middle Ages and before, and the punishments that were carried out, gruesome, terrible punishments. And then you see with, and I've got to do some research and find out, you see with the rise of America that those type of punishments aren't employed in America, but they were employed in Europe and they have been employed in other places around the world. And then when you look at some of those punishments and they feel strangely reminiscent, like they had one, something fork, devil's fork, where it was this piece of steel where both ends were sharpened into these two points. And what they would do is they would strap this to a person's neck and shackle them, of course, so they couldn't get to it. Strap this to a person's neck so that if they started nodding off in sleep, their head would bend down and these spikes would jab them in the chin and jab them in the collarbone. And so then that would wake them up. And they would make them go like that for days, which, of course, it'll drive you crazy if you don't get sleep. Well, you look at that and say that's cruel and unusual punishment, and it is, but then you hear about some of the tactics that are used by the CIA and enhanced interrogation techniques where they're playing this terrible screeching, ear-piercing sound, this loud music, and freezing people and heating them up and doing these things to deprive them of sleep, to break them down. Okay, well, is that really that different? And what is the core motivation that sends us as a society to those types of activities? And what I'm working on, and I don't have it all worked out yet, but what I'm working on, that the core thing that sends society to those types of motivations is the threat of extinction. That, in fact, you can't truly tell the nature of any entity until its very existence is threatened. And then the response that that entity has at that point tells you its true nature. No matter what flowery terms it might put on its existence, no matter how it might describe itself or others might describe it, it is only when facing down extinction do you find the truth. And that's going to be part of the whole Windfall series too. So it's interesting. It's interesting. Anyways, for now, I have a lot of things I need to get caught up on because obviously the activities of last week or this week got set aside as I was away, but I'm planning to get caught up on all that today. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.